Hello and welcome to the Saltcast. My name is Ryan Johnson, and guys, we got a great one today. Of course, we got Paul Johnson, a regular. Paul, welcome.
Thank you, Ryan. It's glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. It's good to be here as well.
But today, we have a special guest who's never been on before. We got Brad Oswald. And welcome, Brad. It's good to have you on for the first time.
Yeah, I'm excited. Excited to be on the podcast with you guys.
Oh, good. That was my next question, is how you feel. I'm glad you're excited. Don't. But grateful that you could be on with us today. Because, Brad, maybe you can tell us a little bit. I'll let you kind of introduce yourself and what you do with the firm. But let me kind of do an introduction here. But this year, of 2022... We've been talking a lot about the year of enforcement, meaning states are going to be auditing a lot of businesses for their sales tax. And we've seen that, and you know, we've seen the statistics where states are increasing their revenue from sales tax by, you know, 20% plus. And it's not just a handful of states. This is at least half. So things are going to get real. So Brad, I'll kind of let you introduce yourself and then we'll get into the topic.
Yeah, at the firm, I do a lot of refund work. I work on the projects team, identifying and helping clients with getting money back from the states. I do some taxability work and some other project work here and there, but my main focus here is working with clients, identifying refund opportunities, sales tax refunds, sales tax reverse audits, different firms within the, we'll call it different things, depends on who you talk to, but ultimately it's getting money back for companies. So that's what I do.
Nice. And you know, that's kind of a big part of our business, because it does, you know, it is kind of one of our main services that, you know, people need, because it, I don't know what the right word is, but just engrosses a lot of our core services, and it really meshes with, you know, sales tax return services, handling sales tax audits and things like that. But we, and Paul knows this, I think every podcast we cover an aspect of the three main questions, right, that a business should be asking themselves when it comes to sales tax compliance. And of course, that's, you know, determining your nexus. Got to do that. Second is you got to determine whether or not your product or service is taxable. And third, you know, the method of how you complete those sales is also important, because that could determine whether or not, you know, you have some sales tax responsibility. What would be, would you say, Brad and Paul, you guys have a lot of experience with refunds. What would be the three questions that a business should ask themselves to determine whether or not a refund review could be beneficial?
Paul, do you want to go first? Or
I was just going to indicate that as businesses are more inclined to tax their goods and services now, just with Wayfair and Nexus being a huge thing, companies ought to consider what they're purchasing and why they're paying tax on it. At any point, you should ask yourself, should I be paying tax on the items that I'm purchasing? Or if I'm not paying tax, should I be self-assessing and remitting use tax? Just because the vendor I'm purchasing product from, and it could be anything legit for your business, anything that you're purchasing, if the company or the vendor that you're using to acquire or to obtain the goods is not charging you tax, that doesn't mean that tax is not due. Under audit, the state more likely is going to review those purchases for tax that was or was not charged. And so self-assessing and remitting use tax on those goods or services that you're purchasing is also valid to review.
I like what Paul said there with regards to the state looking at purchases. More often than not, a state auditor, or if you're under sales tax audit, they're not going to identify Reese funds for you. And so I would also say if you're under audit, it's definitely a good opportunity and a good time to simultaneously do a refund review. Let's look at your purchases. Let's look at your fixed assets and the expenses and where you're spending a bulk of the money, and identify opportunities that maybe not are very direct or stand out when you're purchasing certain items from your vendors.
So maybe the first question is, should I be paying sales tax on the items that I am purchasing? And what kind of
nobody wants to self-assess and remit use tax. I think when I purchase something, I purchased a new computer from a website that didn't charge me tax, and that's one of the reasons why I went to that website to buy it, because I knew I could save hundreds of dollars, right, on this thousands of dollar computer. And so by avoiding having to pay an extra, you know, 6.5%, 6.75% where I live, I mean, that's big money. And companies have this discussion and argument internally, and on our What's Next calls, we have this discussion as well, where clients are like, I don't want to charge tax, because if I charge tax, then I'm now charging more for my service or my good, and so the customer is going to go somewhere else where they don't have to pay tax. But we're going to see more or less and less and less than that, I predict, over the next, you know, year to 2 years, because of the impact that the legislation changes have had on businesses.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring up the use tax accrual. Having worked on a sales tax refund, we saw a business that was accruing use tax on top of items that were being charged sales tax. And another reason to just review your purchases, review your use tax accruals, and why you're accruing that use tax, how you came up with that. And oddly enough, this one was making purchases from out of state into another state. So there is a rate differential. And I mean, refunds reviews are great. There's just so many things that turn up because of it. And especially like Paul was saying earlier with Wayfair, everybody's going to start charging sales tax. So it's a good idea when you're purchasing to have a refund review.
That's interesting. So we say items. But what could these items be? Like, is it like equipment? Could it be like software? Could it be like intangible things as well?
D, all the above, Bob.
Okay. Excellent.
It doesn't matter what you're purchasing. When I talk with even my own friends and neighbors about what I do, I let them know that I consult in the sales tax world, and everybody is impacted by sales tax because you're either buying something or selling something. And oftentimes, you know, when you're buying something, the vendor may charge you tax just because they assume you're the end user, but you could be further reselling it for further consumption or to somebody else or for further fabrication or what have you. So it's just important to review what you're purchasing and are you paying tax on it or not. I think that's a valid number one. Is what I'm purchasing subject to tax, and if I'm, am I paying tax on it? I guess not is it subject to tax, but is what I'm purchasing taxed, and am I paying tax on it? That makes sense.
Complete sense.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
All right, so that's question number one. So what would you guys say would be question number two?
Number two that comes to mind that we talk about a lot is fixed asset acquisitions or fixed asset purchases. Still is on the purchase side because that's where you're paying tax and that's where you're going to get a refund of tax on purchases. But specifically, we're talking about fixed assets that maybe you're depreciating over time. And are those fixed assets subject to tax?
Yeah.
So do I have any fixed assets that I'm paying tax on? And do I owe tax on those fixed assets?
Yeah, I would echo that. And I would also add mergers and acquisitions. is a place where sales tax can be tricky. All states treat them differently, and it's a good idea to find some consulting, some professional consulting when it comes to purchasing a business. Are you purchasing the assets, going back to what Paul said on the fixed assets, or are you purchasing everything? But it's a good idea to look at it and really identify if sales tax should have been paid or not paid.
Last year we saw a lot of M&A transactions. Companies just are gobbling up other companies. And during that M&A transaction, due diligence is key. And in the due diligence, when I say due diligence, it's reviewing the company that you're either merging with or acquiring to see their taxability. But a key part of that should be the tax that you may or may not owe on the assets that you're acquiring. So some companies are going to self-assess or remit use tax on those assets. It could be that it's subject to a bulk sale exemption. It could be that it's not subject to tax because it's not the main line. There are a lot of different areas and facets depending on the state where you are located, and where the assets are located. That it can be huge to skip over or to gloss over. Oh, we'll just pay tax on it. Should you?
Yeah.
So what would we call that question? I wrote down fixed assets, but what would be the question you would say you would ask yourself? Are my fixed assets taxable? Or should I be paying taxes on my fixed assets?
I think it's a tricky question because if you're purchasing something, like we said in the very beginning, the number one question is what you're purchasing taxable. I don't want to just like say fixed assets and hone in on fixed assets because there's other expenses and other items that can be subject to refund. I think it would be large purchases. Am I purchasing anything that I feel is high dollar or begs the question, is this really subject to tax? And I think businesses can actually set a threshold for that, you know, as they acquire large items and spend whatever they come up with, $50, $100, $500, $1 million on fixed assets, on acquiring businesses, identifying large vendors within their company. Should I be paying tax on the goods or services that I'm buying?
I think what I'm talking about, I'm referring to it almost like two different purchases. You have your operating expenses, mm-hmm. those that you just pay cash for, or you just, here's the credit card, your operating expenses, and then you have your capital expenses. The capital expenses, typically, you're not going to pay all of it right now and expense all of it. You're going to capitalize, you're going to depreciate it over long term. So, you know, a lot of people capitalize their computers or different assets that they have inside of the company. It just depends on what it is and how much it costs. So to our earlier point, it doesn't matter what you're purchasing. Everything that you're purchasing, you should be reviewing for tax.
Yeah. I would almost go back, Ryan, to audits. When you're being audited by the state, I think it's the best time to look at your documents and really get into the details of things, because it's going to help you not only find refund opportunity, but potentially lower your exposure, lower your liability if you have one. I think it ultimately helps a bit. It just cleans the business up. It makes it fine-tunes everything, the things that were overlooked because you've had turnover in your accounts payable department, or you've had a couple controllers over, you know, 5 or 6 years. It's good just to come in and fine-tune things and take a deeper dive into them.
So maybe the third question could be, are you under audit? Because it could be...
Or you could also rephrase that to... In the last 3 or 4 years, depending on the state of statute of limitations, because refunds also follow, have I done a cursory review a detailed review of those purchases and of those controls that we have in place. You know, our AR team or the controller, whoever's reviewing those purchases or making those purchases, is there proper training and things involved to keep people up to speed on what they should be paying tax on and what they shouldn't be paying tax on? I'm just reminded of a company that we did a refund review for, and the gals in the AR department and AP department had been there for like 30 plus years. Two gals in specific, and when we did the refund review for them, or a reverse audit, whatever you want to call it, I referred to it as a refund review. When we did a refund review for them, we found that they were on top of it to a T, and it was just exquisite. I was mind blown of how well they were doing on the purchase side. They knew specifically what items shouldn't be taxed, what items should be taxed, and if it wasn't taxed, they knew that it was required to be self-assessed or remitted as use tax. So it was the one and only time, to be quite frank, where we had nothing but praise. And so just reviewing it over a 3 or 4 year period, I would recommend just doing a cursory review and double checking over a 3 year period, because that's how far back you can typically go on refunds.
Yeah, I like that. And Brad, I like what you said. It's kind of like cleaning up. You know, you're straightening everything out. You're bringing it all out in the open, and you're organizing it to make sure everything is being done correctly. And that's kind of, you know, what we want to do. It's like, we want to bring you peace of mind that you are doing everything correctly. So if you're not under audit, then when you do go under audit, you have all your ducks in a row. And, you know, the auditor is probably not going to find much. but this, I think, you know, one thing we haven't covered was exemption certificates. But I could imagine that would have an effect too. But, I mean, you'd be looking at, you know, make sure your exemption certificates are all in a row and stuff like that. But, like, I think about the people who get these reviews done. And they'd be like the hero, you know. Even if they're not the ones doing it, it would be really nice to have someone, third party, come in, take a look, and give you some advice on how to move forward. That just, to me, makes sense.
I think one of the biggest setbacks or holdups, barriers that companies, controllers, CFOs, VPs of finance will tell themselves is that they don't want somebody to come in and do a refund review because they view it as we're finding their faults.
Right.
Hey, we self-assessed, remitted this use tax, or we've been paying this tax to this vendor and we shouldn't have, and these guys found it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely can see that argument, but more importantly, it's, hey, every 3 years we're going to have this crew come in and make certain that we're doing things like we should, and they're going to be doing the review, focused specifically in this area because that's their level of expertise, while I'm focused, more importantly, on saving the company and making certain that processes and controls are in place to prevent that. And through this process, we also teach and educate and provide the necessary certificates or things that should be in place to prevent it from happening in the future. And so it's one of the things we talk to controllers and VPs of finance, CFOs, so on and so forth, specifically about, because it's not that you're a terrible person because you're doing it this way. No, it's just it's simple little things with a little bit of attention and with an expert in the field involved in the process that can bring a lot of benefit and value to you as a company. Now, if you wait 5 years, 10 years, and stuff rolls off the statute, yeah, that's not going to be as good of news to the CEO or owner of the company. Yeah, we should have done this 5 years ago. Captured all of this. So
and it adds to the bottom line. Going back to what Paul said, I don't know why they're so put off by it. I think anybody should understand, in business you have the financial reporting, you're doing payroll biweekly, you're doing check runs, You're doing all these things. You're trying to do internal analysis and internal reporting based on your benchmarks. And so sales tax is kind of a, I would say, like an afterthought, especially with regards to your purchases. Am I being charged sales tax? Okay, good. Should be covered. Unless you have a team that's dedicated to it, there's no shame in asking for a third-party help, especially people who've done it for years and years and years. And it just cleans everything up and ultimately adds to the bottom line. It's going to make – it's money in your pocket. So yeah. It's adding to your margins. It's adding to your net income. However you want to look at it, it's going to just be adding to the company. So
one of the sayings that our CEO, Jason Parr, constantly says is that collaboration builds confidence. And there's not any more confidence that you'll be able to gain than by allowing a company – the Peisner or whoever it may be to come in and do a review of your purchases, because through that process you'll be able to collaborate, bounce questions off of, get a third party to review, and build some confidence as to, yeah, we're doing fantastic, congratulations everybody, you're doing great, or no, we got some changes that we need to make. It can be hard to swallow, but what's most important is that we captured it and are able to obtain a refund, and then do it right going forward.
Yeah. And we make it really simple. I mean, you can email us, call us, sign for a What's Next call. We'll get you guys rolling, and we'll send Brad right up to you. Brad's going to come knock on your front door and help you out.
I don't mind travel. Paul doesn't like traveling so much, but I'll travel. Yeah, I'll come see you guys. So,
thanks again, Brad, for coming on with us today. And Paul, always a pleasure. And we hope to see you guys in another one.
Thanks, Ryan.